You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production. The Breakfast Show, better than coffee.
And indeed, a very good morning to each and every one of you. Welcome to Tuesday, the 19th of September. It is The Breakfast Show. I'm Jerry D. We're on 89.3, of course, Cool FM. All right, who have we got born on this day? I tell you what, we're going to love this one. How about this? Christopher Stone, he was born on this day. The year was 1882. Now, he was the first disc jockey, all right, in the United Kingdom. He approached the BBC with the idea of doing a record program, which the corporation initially dismissed. Well, he managed to convince them, though on this was, on the 7th of July in 1927, he actually started playing records on air. No. His relaxed conversational style was exceptional at the time, when most of BBC's presentation was extremely formal, and his programs became highly popular as a result. Guess what? He wore a dinner jacket and a tie when he presented. I guess just the same as I do now.
Good morning, world.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun.
Morning.
Good morning in the morning.
Morning.
Buenos días en la mañana.
Transmission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The best place to be in the mornings.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D.
and the Sultans. Yeah, the Sultans that play Creole.
Coming in this morning with a rock classic, of course, Sultans of Swing by Dire Straits, written by Mark Knopfler. The demo song for that was recorded at Pathway Studios, which is in North London. That was in July of 1977. Quickly acquired a following after it was put on a rotation on BBC Radio London. Its popularity soon reached record executives as well, and Dire Straits, well, they were offered a contract with Phonogram Records. And, of course, the song has then recorded in February of 1978. And this was at Basing Street Studios. This was for their eponymous debut album. And the song has since, well, as I said, remained a staple of classic rock radio. It's one of the band's most recognisable songs. This is not Dire Straits. This is the Rolling Stones.
Oh,
There we go. Yes, Mixed Emotions, that one. That comes from the Rolling Stones off of their 1969 album. And that was called, that was, I'm just trying to say, 69, yeah, no, 89, sorry. Came off their 1989 album, get my albums mixed up, which was Steel Wheels. And the song was written by Mick Jagger together with Keith Richards. And that was while, if you can do that while you're on vacation, in Barbados. Mixed Emotions, a collaboration and effort really between Jagger and Richards after a period of tension and estrangement as well. Richards brought his own music to the session along with most of the song's lyrics, the rest being filled in by Mick Jagger in the studio. 21st of August in 1989. This was in the United Kingdom. Song reached number one, Canada, number five in the United States, becoming a top 10 hit in Finland, Netherlands and New Zealand and Norway. And I tell you what, we've got about a minute to go. I've got guests coming in this morning. I'll tell you more about that. And that's going to be in the 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock hours this morning. Photography in one, auction, art auction in another one. So all that's coming up here on this morning's breakfast show. For right now, though, yep, we'll get you in the shower and on your way to wherever it is you're going to be going on this Tuesday morning. There's Tuesday. Just joined us. Good morning. It is the 19th of September.
But listen.
There you go. Yes, I could see you having a little bop around in the shower for that one. Damien and the Time Warp. And out. That's it. Out you go. And on your way to it as you're going this morning. If you are keeping an eye on the time, we're about 18 and a half minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock. Usual bits and pieces. We'll look at some of the international news headlines and some of a little bit of business as well at 7.30. 8 and 9 o'clock, we will be looking at some of the local news as well. We'll see if we've got time, because we've got quite busy with guests this morning, but if we've got time, we'll see if we can find some what I call antidepressants, some good news stories. That's always nice, isn't it? James Blunt here on The Breakfast Show. This is called Halfway.
Nobody drives to the middle of nowhere just to turn around, to turn around. Nobody sleeps in the middle of the bed when they got someone else, someone else. Nobody walks up the stairway to heaven just to walk back down. 'Cause it's there or it's not, it's heartbreak or it's love. There's no such thing as halfway. You're go. I don't care, just let me know if you feel it. Do you feel it? 'Cause it's there or it's not. It's heartbreak or it's love. There's no such thing as halfway. You're in or out of love. We made it or we lost. There's no such thing as halfway.
And there we go, yes, Halfway is what that is called, from James Blunt. We're going from a J of James, going to a J of Julian. This is Julian Lennon. Love Don't Let Me Down. We are almost exactly 22 after the hour of 7.
What is it like to feel alone? What is it like without a home? Don't you believe in who you are? Open your heart and you'll go far. You've got to believe in what you say. You've got to believe in one more day. Try to reach out and don't let it go. Dreams are real, don't you know? Hold me, stay real. Love, don't let down.
The Breakfast Show. It's better than coffee.
I like the way you talk. I like the things you wear. I want your number tattooed on my arm in ink, I swear. Cause when the morning comes, I know you won't be there. Every time I turn around, you disappear. Somewhere warm, you know, j'adore la mer. Cause when the morning comes, I know you won't be there. Every time I turn around, you disappear. Tattooed on my arm in ink, I swear. Cause when the morning comes, I know you won't be there. Every time I turn around, you disappear.
That is called Nice to Meet Ya, and that comes from Niall Horan here on The Breakfast Show. Time, we're just 28 minutes, that's after the hour of 7 o'clock. We're going to do this, and then we'll look at some of the international news.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3, con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM. estamos muy felices de anunciarles que Mega Producciones ya tiene local, llamado Mundo Kids, ubicado en Atrio Mall Costa del Este, piso 3, donde puedes llevar a tus hijos a divertirse, con show, parque, personajes y también puedes realizar fiestas de cumpleaños. Contáctalos, mundokidspty01@gmail.com, WhatsApp 6317-6563 y su cuenta de Instagram mundokidspanamá1. Ven y disfruta con nosotros.
¿Amas la historia y la cultura? Únete al Museo del Canal y sé parte de un legado que ha trascendido generaciones. Adquiriendo tu membresía al Museo del Canal, haces posible que más niños y jóvenes de diversas comunidades y escuelas de todo el país redescubran su historia. Conviértete en un miembro y sumérgete en la fascinante historia que rodea la construcción del canal. Para más información, museodelcanal.com o al WhatsApp 6576-9335 o visita el Museo del Canal ubicado en Casco Antiguo frente a la Plaza Catedral. Museo del Canal, donde la historia cobra vida.
Have you ever dreamed of studying and working abroad? How does Ireland sound? Don't miss Global Possibility Studies Educational Fair on September 29th in the Decapolis Hotel. You'll be able to meet five of the most renowned Irish universities and learn about their bachelor and master degrees. Get to know Ireland's flexible immigration laws, financing opportunities, and how to get your full-time work permit for 2 years after graduation in the Emerald Isle. Don't forget to visit the fair this September 29th in the Decapolis Hotel at 6:30 p.m. Limited availability. RSVP at info@gpstudies.com. Follow them on Instagram at Global Possibility Studies and find out about all learning opportunities in Ireland.
En la carretera Panamericana se desarrollan frentes de trabajo de la línea 3. Por la seguridad de los conductores, recomendamos respetar las señales de tránsito y manejar con precaución para evitar accidentes.
And the time, 29 minutes right now before the hour of 8 o'clock. Let's take a look at a few of the items that are in the international news for this Tuesday morning. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said that authorities were actively pursuing credible allegations linking New Delhi's agents to the murder of Sikh separatist leader, a concern that India dismissed as absurd. The SPAT deals a fresh blow to diplomatic ties that have been frayed for years, with New Delhi unhappy over Sikh separatist activity in Canada. It now threatens trade ties as well, with talks on a proposed trade deal frozen last week. Each nation also expelled a diplomat in a tit-for-tat move, with Canada throwing out India's top intelligence agent, there, while in New Delhi, responded by giving a Canadian diplomat 5 days to leave. Azerbaijan launched anti-terrorist activities in the Nagorno-Karabakh region. This was to restore constitutional order and drive out what it called Armenian military formations there, a move that could foreshadow a new war in the region. Loud shelling was audible from unverified social media footage filmed in Septa-Kanert, the capital of Karabakh, called Kandendi by Azerbaijan on Tuesday. Well, Azerbaijan's defense ministry spoke in a statement of its intention to disarm and secure the withdrawal of formations of Armenia's armed forces from our territories and neutralize their military infrastructure. A Spanish court has dismissed a lawsuit by disgraced ex-soccer federation chief Luis Rubiales against coach Javier Clemente, who had called Rubiales a dangerous and ambitious guy seeking to get rich, qualifying his comments as free speech. In its ruling, seen by Reuters on Monday and dated September the 1st, amid an unrelated scandal over Rubiales' behavior at the Women's World Cup last month. China's former foreign minister, Qin Gang, who was ousted from his position in July, had an extramarital affair while he was ambassador to the United States, the Wall Street Journal reported on Tuesday, citing people familiar with the briefing. The report said that Qin was cooperating with the investigation, which was now focused on whether the affair of Qin's conduct had compromised China's national security. A plane carrying five Americans freed by Iran landed in the United States on Tuesday, a day after that they were swapped for the release of five Iranians held in the U.S. and the unfreezing of $6 billion in Iranian funds in a deal between the archenemies. CNN reported the plane had landed, but the report did not provide any further details. More than 50 Colombian state entities and private companies were hit by a cyber attack last week, Colombian President Gustavo Petro told journalists in New York. Internet service provider IFX Networks last week reported that it was victim of a ransomware attack, which saw dozens of Colombian organizations affected. Target in the United States said on Tuesday it will hire nearly 100,000 employees for the holiday season and offer deep discounts starting in October as the U.S. retailer braces for the competitive shopping period. This year, U.S. holiday sales are expected to grow at their slowest pace in 5 years as consumers spend cautiously due to tightening household budgets and lingering worries over the economy. Alphabet's Google on Tuesday made a last-ditch effort at Europe's top court to overturn a €2.42 billion, that's around about $2.6 billion, and this is an EU antitrust fine imposed for market abuse related to its shopping service, saying that regulators failed to show that its practices were anti-competitive. European shares, well, they edged higher on Tuesday in choppy trading as cautious investors awaited a slew of central bank decisions this week, while Germany's DAX lagged regional peers as weakness in industrial stocks weighed. The Pan-European Stock 600 index, that inched 0.2% up by 8.17 Greenwich Mean Time today, while Germany's DAX was flat. Energy stocks, they gained 0.8% as crude prices rallied on supply deficit concerns. Financial sectors such as insurance and financial services, they climbed 0.7% and 0.8% respectively. And talking about those oil prices, well, they rose on Tuesday for a fourth consecutive session as weak U.S. shale output spurred further concerns about a supply deficit stemming from extended production cuts by Saudi Arabia and Russia. Global oil benchmark Brent crude futures, that was up 41 cents or 0.43% to $94.84 a barrel. That was by 7:15 Greenwich Mean Time. After breaching dollar gains, U.S. West Texas intermediate crude futures, well, they were up 92 cents or 1.01%. That was to $92.40. There we go. Look at this morning, some of the items in the international news, and as I say there, a little bit of business thrown in for good measure. Have you ever thought about smart investing? You've got to check out Riccio & Associates. They've got over 30 years of experience guiding folks just like you. Start with $5,000, get control, low cost and total liquidity. Reach out on WhatsApp at 1-954-881-3398 or swing by the website yoinviertobien.com. Your financial future, it's in great hands.
It's Morning Radio, The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM from the heart of Panama City in English.
Absolutely. Time was a few seconds away from 22 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. A couple of good mornings this morning. Good morning to Paul. In fact, he dropped me a little line overnight about the passing, sadly, of Roger Whittaker, who was a very well-known artist in the UK. Might, if we have a chance this morning, look at a couple of pieces of his music. Good morning to Mary Lou. She wished everybody a good morning today. And, of course, Renee over there in Athens in Greece. Now, apparently, according to Renee, good morning. Well, the air conditioning saga continues. The main board, We could write a book on this, couldn't we, really? The main board for the central air unit is still on the wait list for repair. We let the landlord know that my dad is coming to visit in 3 weeks and the guest room is on the top floor with no functioning air conditioning. So the landlord, he must love you, he's sending the AC guys tomorrow to install another split air conditioning unit in the guest room. I think that's a good idea anyway, isn't it? Then you don't need to use that big central air conditioning unit. Yeah, you'll probably save a bit of money. Anyway, you asked if we could play a piece of music for you this morning, coming from Paul Simon in black and white. It might have been colour. Kodachrome.
Jerry D.
White, red, or blue.
Track in actual fact is W-O-R-U from Simply Red. W-O-R-U, I worked it out. Which one are you? In there somewhere. And by the way, don't forget tomorrow, the 20th, we're celebrating the 17th year here of Cool FM. Yes, and we're in our 16th year as well. So, and we're going to be celebrating that tomorrow, 17th birthday of Cool FM. And what are we going to do? Well, I said you heard it probably earlier. I'm going to be playing the music that I was listening to when I was 17. All I'll say is I hope you like the 1960s. So that's tomorrow morning. We've also got a guest coming in. Yes. We've got Gabrielle coming in from Pedro Mandinga. He's going to have a little special something for us. So looking forward to that. And a busy day today. We've got an interview coming up in the next hour. That's going to be with the photographer, Tito Herrera. This is a project put on by Alliance Francaise. And he's been here specifically looking at the refugee situation through the eyes of his lenses. So that's in the second hour. And in the last hour, Aurea is Vivier. They've got an auction coming up, and we're going to be talking with a nice lady. Her name is Barbara Camposinario, I think it's how it's pronounced. I just put my piece of paper down, so I'll come back to that. So busy little morning this morning. Yasmin will be telling us how their auction is working as well, how that's going to work. We'll be checking in with Ingrid in around about half an hour's time. So it's a busy little morning this morning.
She packed my bags last night pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then. I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space on such a timeless flight. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no.
Mars ain't the kind of place to raise your kids. In fact, it's cold as hell, and there's no one there to raise them. If you did, and all the science I don't understand, it's just my job.
Elton John and a Rocket Man. We are just coming up for 7 minutes right now before the hour of 8 o'clock. Another birthday for today, by the way. Did you ever read the novel Lord of the Flies? I remember not reading the novel. I did, but many, many years ago. I think it was in black and white. They did a movie, Lord of the Flies. It was really quite haunting. It's about some kids that get sort of left on an island and how they have to survive. And it gets... it was, I don't know, a bit of a psychological thriller, really. Well, Sir William Golding was born in 1911. He was a British novelist, poet, and a playwright, and best known for that novel, Lord of the Flies. If you have a rummage, I'm sure you'll find it somewhere on the internet, the original version of that film. So it's really quite quite daunting. Right, Dave D, Dozy, Leaky, Mick and Titch. Let's have a little bit of a whip around, shall we? It's coming. Wait for it.
La leyenda de Sanadu.
There you go.
those clear eyes of yours ever filled with the pain and tears of grief? Did you ever give yourself to any one man in this whole wide world? Or did you love me? And will you find your way back one day to Xanadu?
The Breakfast Show. It's better than coffee.
Indeed, Diana Ross and the Supremes, Come See About Me, following on from Dave D, Dozy, BK Mikintich, and Xanadu. Time on this morning's breakfast show. It's news time.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3. Cool FM, the best place to be in the mornings.
¿Amas la historia y la cultura? Únete al Museo del Canal y sé parte de un legado que ha trascendido generaciones. Adquiriendo tu membresía al Museo del Canal, haces posible que más niños y jóvenes de diversas comunidades y escuelas de todo el país redescubran su historia. Conviértete en un miembro y sumérgete en la fascinante historia que rodea la construcción del canal. Para más información, museodelcanal.com o al WhatsApp 6576-9335 o visita el Museo del Canal ubicado en Casco Antiguo frente a la Plaza Catedral. Museo del Canal, donde la historia cobra vida.
Do you want to study and work abroad but don't know where? Global Possibility Studies and Education Ireland have the perfect opportunity for you in their educational fair this September 29th in the Decapolis Hotel. Get to know everything about their programs, financing opportunities, and interact with the representatives of five of the most renowned universities in Ireland. Come to the fair and learn how to apply to a postgraduate degree with the possibility of obtaining your full-time work permit for 2 years. This September 29th in the Decapolis Hotel at 6:30 p.m. Limited availability. RSVP at info@gpstudies.com. Follow them on Instagram at Global Possibility Studies.
Con la construcción de la línea 3 del metro, día tras día, vamos haciendo realidad el sueño de miles de residentes de la provincia de Panamá Oeste.
Estamos muy felices de anunciarles que Mega Producciones ya tiene local, llamado Mundo Kids, ubicado en Atrio Mall Costa del Este, piso 3, donde puedes llevar a tus hijos a divertirse, con show, parque, personajes y también puedes realizar fiestas de cumpleaños. Contáctalos, mundokidspty01@gmail.com, WhatsApp 6317-6563 y su cuenta de Instagram Mundo Kids Panamá 1. Ven y disfruta con nosotros.
We have the best music from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and beyond. Join us for the latest news and great interviews. The best place to be in the mornings. The Breakfast Show with Jerry D. Cool FM 89.3.
I feel so lucky loving her. Tell me what else is magic for. She thinks it's better left unsaid.
Just passed the
She's all good loving at once. 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 She's all good.
There we go, yes, that's Mr. Robert Palmer there, and this is a good lead, isn't it? She makes my day, is what that is called, which reminds me, it's about that time on the programme, well, for us to see if we can find our buddy. Yep, see if we can find Ingrid, shall we? Hello.
Good morning, Panama. Good morning, Jerry. Hey, yes, how you doing? Well, I am in the city, yes, indeed, and it was a very uneventful drive. Thank you all for not getting on the street and giving me traffic. It was funny. I with this cold, I've been taking some medication, like, you know, Panadol or something like that, some kind of over-the-counter cold medication, and sometimes it doesn't let me sleep. So about 4 o'clock in the morning, I woke up wide awake. So I've been up for a few hours, and I was listening outside to the city and the beautiful sound of silence. How wonderful it was to hear the birds and the frogs. Very little. Once in a while, a car would go by on the highway, and it was just beautiful. It was, unfortunately, it reminded me of COVID times, but it was a pretty reminder because it reminded me how beautiful this city can be. And as a country girl coming into the city every now and then, it's nice to know we still have lots of green area, birds, and lots of little creatures living in around our area. Well, this is an interesting week, trying to get an apartment rented, trying to get some work done. Just had a conference call with Dubai and Miami, so that's the other reason I had to be up at the crack of dawn. When it's 6:30 here, it's 7:30 in Florida, and it's like 5 o'clock in Dubai. So I was like trying to get it all done at once. Anyways, been a busy one. Hope you're all having a good day. The sky is just beautiful with the blue sky and the fluffy white clouds. Again, not too much noise in traffic and lots of birds making their songs, singing across the sky. Those parrots, I love it. They fly in. They're like, I'm on my way to work. I'm on my way to work. And they quack, 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 squawk, squawk, squawk. One day I remember standing out and looking out the balcony, and I remember seeing a toucan fly by. Now, I've seen toucans out in El Valle and other places, but here in the city, that was cool. All right, anyways, tomorrow is Wednesday. Today is Tuesday. Not sure if I'm coming home today or tomorrow. I've got to see if I can get some more work done. Anyways, you guys be safe, and back to you in the studio.
You're the son of
Everybody loves the things you do, from the way you talk to the way you move. Everybody here is watching you, 'cause you feel like home. You're like a dream come true. But if by chance you're here alone, can I have a moment before I go? 'Cause I've been by myself all night long, hoping you're someone I used to know. You look like a movie, you sound like a song. My God, this reminds me of when we were young. Like a movie, it was just like a song. I was so scared to face my fears. Nobody told me that you'd be here. And I swear you moved overseas. That's what you said. Just like a song.
When we were young, when we were young, when we were young, when we were young.
It's hard to admit that everything takes me back to when you were there. So when you were there, like a movie, it was just like a song. My God, this reminds me of when we're young.
Beautiful song from Adele, that one. And When We Were Young. I think I can just about remember that. Only just. It's time to introduce my guest this morning here in the studio, in this lot of the program. Tito Herrera. Good morning to you, Tito.
Good morning to you. Nice to meet you, man.
Well,
appreciate it.
You got a radio voice as well.
I've been told that before. Actually, you know what? Fun fact. Well, my two first passion in life was music. So my dream was to be a songwriter and a musician. So I started playing garage bands, as we all did at some point. And so that led, of course, to a passion for radio. And so when I was in high school, in my last year of high school, I interned in a radio station.
Oh, really?
In a local radio
station. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then eventually I got, for like 4 months, I got my own rock and roll radio show at night. It was fun, but we make no money and we didn't last anything. But
things,
it was fun.
Some things don't change.
Some people say I have a radio voice, which I think, they will say I have a TV face, but, something else.
No, that's why I do radio.
Yeah, you take what you can get, right?
Absolutely. But music has always been very, very strong in my life. But I was 18, 19 when I did radio for the first time, the days of the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, soul music, Motown, you name it, you got it. And I just fell in love with radio. Life takes you in different directions, as it obviously did with you.
Yeah, radio. I love radio, man. I'm an old school fan. We talked a little bit of the air before. Like, I still have vinyls, and film photography and all that. I love that. So I love the old school radio. I listen to podcasts and all that, but I like the idea of the old school radio. Good. What killed it for me was in Panama, they changed the law. And so you needed to have like a broadcasting license to go on air.
That's right.
And I was never committed enough to take the course. Oh. So that ended my radio career.
That's what started mine.
Exactly.
Anyway, look, it's lovely to have you with us.
Thank you. Appreciate the invitation, man.
I'm glad I got another old soul here with me in the studio. Photography. So that's the direction that life took you in.
A passion of mine, yes.
Yeah,
sir.
But that wasn't your intention originally, though.
No. I intentionally wanted to be a songwriter. Actually, not
really.
I wanted to be a songwriter. Yeah. I wanted to write songs. I wanted to write music and stuff. So I started playing music, piano, guitar when I was 14 years old. Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was a weird teenager because I was kind of like, I wasn't the coolest, but I also wasn't the nerd of the gig. But somehow I was this, like, behind the shadows. I was like reading, eating, devouring poetry and like listening to lyrics instead of music, mm-hmm. and
mm-hmm.
I've always been more of a lyricist. Like, I like the lyrics of a song more than them, so I like that. And so I got into that. I got into the conservatory to study music composition when I was 14 years old.
Really?
Yeah. And so when I turned 18, being the garage musician that I was, my father put a doubt in my head. I said, music, you're gonna starve to death, you can't leave out of music in Panama, there's no blah blah blah, there's no art. So he effectively put fear in my heart. And so I thought, okay, so what?
Go and get a real job.
Yeah. So my thought process was, what can I do? What can I study that will give me enough financial stability mm-hmm. to pursue my music passion?
Right.
Also give me street, or social credibility and respect, but also make me a better songwriter at the same time. And so after many self-discussions, I landed in law school because I figured lawyers make a good money. You need a lawyer for everything, and as a lawyer, you need to write and read a lot, so that'll make me a better writer.
Mm-hmm.
So I entered law school.
And there are not many here in Panama, either.
Well, Panama, lawyers are smart. They put themselves in everything in Panama. You need a lawyer for everything here. So while I was in law school, a friend of mine knew that I wrote, and I used to write little articles and things, mm-hmm. for friends. Mm-hmm. And so she knew I was writing personal stuff, and she put me in the direction of a magazine, a youth magazine at the time, called Super Magazine,
mm-hmm.
that was looking for freelance writers. And so I submitted to them, and they liked my stuff. And so, long story short, after a few articles, they said, we like what you write. We appreciate your topics, your insight and things. But we're a youth magazine. We're a graphic magazine. We need graphics. So mm-hmm. either you send mm-hmm. us something, a drawing, a graphic, a photo right. or something, we're willing to pay extra. $10 extra. They weren't paying anything.
Per photo?
Yeah, for something. For the whole thing, I think. Anyway. No, but they say, we'll pay extra, but we need... You send us a package or we can't publish it. And so that... I can doodle, but I'm not
mm-hmm,
a pro.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of forced me to pick up a camera and start fiddling with it. And so...
Had you had any background in photography
at
that
time? Not at all. Not more than the regular person who grabs a family camera and points at somebody.
Right,
at all.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I'm very obsessive compulsive, and so that kicked in 1,000%, and I just became obsessed. The more I read about photography, and then everything clicked, because most people do, I used to watch Time magazine and National Geographic mm-hmm. and Life magazine and the older ones in the magazines, and you see how a photo will grab you, and then you want to keep more looking at it.
Right, right.
So then I started understanding why that happened, and how the brain responds to images and the thought and the power of images to grab you and the storytelling to images. And so that I just fell in love with the power of it. And how can
right.
I know that I can write, but I know that if I take the right picture, I can I can maybe not even make you read anything, but maybe if I get a really good picture, I can make you read 1,000 words instead of just 5. So I just fell in love with the power of photography and storytelling and the convenience of it. And so I just went through it 100%.
Because really, you've chosen, I mean, your work has not been exactly, if you like, the glamour side of photography at all.
No, being the stubborn, stupid person that I am, always wanting to suffer in life, I decided that I was going to pick photography, but I was going to pick the hardest route. I was going to pick photojournalism and travel photography, documentary photography in Panama. This is 25 years ago when there was none of it. So, of course, you say photography, they're like, oh, you're going to do weddings, baptism, bar mitzvahs, you know, all of that. And I didn't do any of that. But I, you know, again, I'm not academic in terms of like, I'm not good with academia in terms of like formal schooling, but I'm very good at self-teaching myself. And I love reading and I love to just educate myself on things. So I started educating myself on like how the great photographers that I did it. And so it wasn't that hard to find out that, you know, 7 out of the top 10 Nagy photographers that I love at the time started the same way. They started a newspaper. So after doing a lot of like 2 years of like trying this and here and that and just volunteering while still working as a law intern for a firm, you know, my spurs and whatever, I decided that if I really wanted to start my photojournalism career and someday, eventually, maybe end up in Nagio, I needed to do what they did, which was start a newspaper. And so that's what I did. I applied for a newspaper, and I got hired at La Prensa, and that was my first official job as a photographer that launched my photojournalism career. That still keeps going.
But at that time, though, you had a particular direction you wanted to go into with your photography? Because when I look at
I just wanted to tell stories. That's all I wanted. I didn't pick a particular subject. As I get older, I think because you try so much, then you get a little more picky, you know? Like, so now, and time and energy is scarce. So and resources too, why not? So, like, I'm more selective on the subjects that I pick now, and over the years, I see that I could keep going back to the subjects that I, like, migration is one of the subjects that I keep going back for the last decade. So, okay, so this is something here that is in my subconscious that I know I'm aware of it now. But no, at the beginning, I just wanted, and still today, you know, I just wanted to tell stories. There's a saying in Panama, cada cabeza es un mundo, you know, every head is a world. And so under that premise, I just figure every person has a story to tell, you know? So my personal goal was and still is, like, I want to make every person a graphic story, but make it an interesting one. So, like, even the most mundane story that you can think.
What comes first with you? I mean, the photographic side, or some of the work you've done. I mean, one, you've done a piece on the Salvadorian gangs. This particular one you're doing now is not an easy topic with the immigration. What comes with it? Or do you work on commission, or do you go and say, right, I'm going to go and do a piece on that?
No, it depends. You know, sometimes I get assigned to, like, migration. I started by being assigned to the story.
Right.
So, like, the gang story that you saw in the summer, for example, that's a piece that we do. It was a 35-day story. We did 4 countries for National Geographic. Basically, we were looking at the worst problems of every country in Central America. And so I was the producer and the photographer for that show. And that's the first time I was introduced by migration. So I, looking into the thing, found the subject of migration, found it. It was there. It just kind of pointed. And so we decided to do that. So that was my first story. And so it fascinated me. So then, because of that story that I discovered, I got assigned for the next decade to work with the United Nations documenting.
Okay.
Yeah, so for the last, since 2013 to 2021, 2022, every year, just going to Central America with the United Nations assigned by them.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. But again, like, I'm in between that, then I'll take trips to that end. So that leads to where we're going right now with the migration story, for example. Like, I've been to the jungle now 10 times in the last year. So almost once a month. And I've gone, I say, 7 times with journalists, as a photographer, as a producer, or 3 times by myself, just because I wanted to keep it. So, you know, when a subject is to me something that I'm drawn to, I'll try to do it no matter how. I usually want to get sent, so I don't have to pay for it, but I'll do it anyway. And I'm drawn to those. I'm drawn to social subjects. I'm drawn to the stories that I don't like to I like stories that are social, but not necessarily. I don't like to. I don't know how to say it. Like, not necessarily to portray the mystery of the story, which is the violence of the gangs or the mystery mm-hmm. of the migrants, but just trying to like just to do an as honest as I can, and maybe anthropological study of what's going on in a documentary record of what's going on. Just one with a clean mind, just kind of see what's going on in the documentary.
Tita, when you go out on a story like this, mm-hmm. and you're having to deal with the migrants, the immigration, when you're thinking about the photographic side of it, what is it you're looking for? What is the picture that you say, yes, I want to get that?
Yeah, I want to get... So this is a perfect example of that, for example. Like right now, migration is massive in Panama. So we're getting 3,000-4,000 people a day, 3,000 a day. Mm. That's a lot of people. That's
sure.
You know, a massive amount. So what I try to do always, and I've learned with my photography and photography of other guys that I respect, is when you show that big numbers, when you show masses,
mm-hmm.
it's impacting, but at the same time, it's disconnecting. So you just see heads in a crowd. You just mm-hmm. see a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what I try to do, what I look for, is individual stories, individual faces, eyes
right.
connecting with eyes. I like to force people to look into the eyes of the situation. If you see my work with the Maras, with the El Salvadorian gangs, it's all portraits. I want you to look at the gang members' eyes
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and see beyond the tattoo. For whatever you see, good or bad, I'm not gonna impose my vision, which I have on the matter, to you. I just want to present the subject to you. Same with migration. I'm not here to make a discussion in favor or against migration or any of
but
that.
But just
not,
to show what is actually happening.
But I do mm-hmm. what I do want to do is I want you to understand and see graphically in my images. Hopefully, I get to do that. That this 3,000 people are this lady who's from Cuba and who's 25 years mm-hmm. old. And is a single mm-hmm. mom with two kids. This guy who's from Ghana. This one is from Pakistan. And just put faces and hopefully names too into this story. So that's one of the things that I definitely make sure that I try to do. Is just for lack of better words, and not to sound grandiose, but just kind of humanize a massive subject like that, and be like, okay, so you think the problem is migration? Then look into the face of the migrants and figure out the problem.
There was one picture I saw. I was just sort of looking quickly, you know, mm-hmm. this morning as I was getting ready, and it's a picture you took of, it looks like a family, and mm-hmm. I think they still had their life jackets.
Yes, exactly.
On,
yeah.
And it was just them. And the mist of the yeah. forest, sort of walking on their own.
That's a young Cuban migrant couple.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that we also want to do in the exhibit that we have coming up, which I'll talk to you a little more eventually, but I think I'm jumping ahead here, but is we want to put not only images, but information. We have walls that in the last year, I've shot over 1,000 images. We're selecting 28 only, 26. And we're giving away wall space to put actual information, statistics, and whatnot. Mm-hmm. We also want to put mm-hmm. captions on every photo so you can see them. So this particular family that you talk about is a Cuban family. They've been traveling for 3 years since they left Havana.
Wow.
Yeah, and so they go from Cuba down to, say, Venezuela. And then from there they go to mm-hmm. Ecuador, and then they start moving their way up, which is mind-boggling how they do it and why they do it that way. But I get why they do it that way, because of the sharks and the Coast Guard. But yeah, that's a 6 a.m. photo, and that's an everyday story in Darien.
Sure, sure.
You know, and so it's just that. I mean, I'm not trying to make a judgment on their family values for traveling with their young infant daughter. I'm not trying to make a political statement on why they left Cuba or why they're trying to get to the U.S. I'm not trying to make. I mean, I have my opinions on the matter, and I'll be glad to discuss them with anybody that asks. But this particular, when I do jobs like this, my job as a journalist, as a photojournalist, is not to make judgment, but to make pictures.
Sure.
And so I'm just ready. This is real.
But really, to take pictures that tell a story to somebody else, which lets them think about the situation, yeah. come to their own opinion. But we're talking with Tito Herrera, and we're going to take a piece of music, and we'll come back, and we're going to be talking also about where you can see these pictures. Well, helpful. Help by the Alliance Francaise.
If a picture paints a thousand words, then why? Will never show.
there's no one home but you. You're all that's left me too. And when my love for life is running dry, you come and pour yourself on me. If a man could be two places at one time, I'd be with you tomorrow and today, beside you all the way. If the world should stop with all things spinning slowly down to dust, I'd spend the end with you. And when the world was through, then one by one the stars would all go out. Then you and I would simply fly away.
There we go. If a picture could paint a thousand words, if a photograph can do the same thing, that's the whole idea, really, isn't it?
They say that, yeah. I teach seminars and workshops, and sometimes I give lectures and ask me. Uh-huh. I have a particular, my introduction to my storytelling workshop is people say, I always ask my students, does a picture really tell a thousand words?
Mm-hmm.
And of course they're like, yeah. I say, well, no. Only the good ones do.
Okay.
Some of them leave more answers than questions. Those we don't want. A picture should be like a joke. If you need to explain it, then it's not a good one.
That's true. Yeah.
So, a picture can tell 10,000 words if it's a good one. If it's not very clear, then...
I remember seeing one picture of it, and it was just a portrait. And it was to do with the Afghan wars. And you must have seen
this, just one woman, her eyes. Yeah. Well, again, that's the power of it. That's a classic. That's the most famous Nat Geo photo. It's a Steve McCurry Afghan girl. Yeah, but that's a perfect example. See, most people don't know the story behind that. But, like, that magazine edition and the story that he did was a story on the Russian invasion of
Afghanistan
in the 80s. Mm-hmm. It was like 85, something like that. And so it was a war story. When you go into the actual story of the magazine, it was all tanks and people and refugees. But he likes portraits too a lot. And he's one of my greatest influences through my career. Mm-hmm. I liked him a lot. And so good for him to capture this particular, haunting image of a refugee girl. But also good on the editor to understand his market and his target and say, most people might not pick a magazine or a story if they see a Russian invasion. I mean, this is the Cold War era in the U.S. They don't care about a Russian invasion in the Middle East. But by putting a human face, to the story, you draw people. Who's this girl?
Sure.
What? Mm-hmm. And then you're like, she's Afghan and they're getting invaded. But if you would have put a Russian guard or a Afghan soldier, you might not have gotten that many people engaged in the story.
Mm-hmm.
So by humanizing the story with such a strong portrait, just a portrait, it's a war story.
That's right.
It starts with a portrait of a little girl.
Exactly.
and that's kind of like a good way to, I guess, explain what I was trying to tell before about make people look into the eyes of a problem, humanizing things. And that's one of the better historical examples of that, the Afghan story war.
Now, what we're going to do...
Okay.
Is we're going to tell people.
Okay.
Where they can see your pictures.
They can see my pictures, yeah.
We could go up. I think we'll do an extra program.
I'm having a coffee right now. There's a good atmosphere right here. Like, I can go for hours, dude. What am I here for again? I'm so bad at this. PR people get really mad at me when they send me on interviews because I always forget.
We actually had Bobby Kimball, and if you know Bobby Kimball at the studio, once from Toto.
Yeah.
And he brought his manager was with him or something. And he would not let us talk off track. He got just about the event.
They tend not to send me by myself, the PR people from the, so yeah.
Oh, well, we'll both get into trouble.
We've got this exhibition coming
up. Yes, the exhibit is called Los Que Pasan, and kind of like Those Who Pass By. Mm-hmm. And the title is also based on the angle of the story. It's not. There's a lot of deaths in the jungle. There's a lot of stories.
Sure.
But there's a lot of news coming out of the middle of the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to focus on the people that actually made it out, and they're stuck in this two communities in two camps, you know, in their brief stay in Panama.
Mm-hmm.
Brief 24 hours, or brief can be 10 days, but brief stay in Panama. And so it's just a look into that. It's a look into the situation in the area. The invitation from the French Alliance, which is hosting the event, came in July. So we closed the show in July, and we projected that we're going to come in September, which we're going to do. We will start soon. I'll tell you in a minute when. We never expected it to get this big and this bad. When I took the last photo of the exhibit in June of this year, the record, it was a record that day, it was 1,600 people.
Right.
And now we're up to close to 4,000 a day. So it's just by unfortunate serendipity that the exhibit is going to open at the time when the discussion is at its peak and the problem is at its peak. And so the exhibit is called Those Who Pass By. It's a portraits and stories of migration in Panama. My personal selection of photos on the matter from the last year is going to be hosted in the French Alliance. We open on September 21st at 7 p.m. But it's going to run from September 21st until November 9th.
Oh, okay, good.
From Monday to Friday, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Every single day is free. Now, one of the main things I need to say before they kill me is that there's a whole agenda of things that we set up for this. We don't want you to just come and look at pictures. One of my main goals for picking the subject to, as a storyteller wannabe, is to tell you more about the matter. So we have a lot of activities around it. We have a walkthrough guide tours in French, in Spanish, in English.
Mm-hmm.
We are also going to have a journalist roundtable with photojournalists, veteran photojournalists in the region, talking about not only migration or covering migration, but covering hard subjects in the region, or how to break into journalism, or how to send your images. So that's on the 23rd. And then in October, and I forgot the exact day, but it's in the agenda, we have a roundtable with the United Nations to talk about displacement and migrations in Central America, and that's going to be hosted by the United Nations Refugee Program and the IOM, sorry, in English. That's the exhibit. The exhibit was by an invitation of the French Alliance, and is sponsored and hosted by the United Nations Refugee Program, which, like I told you before, I worked with for the last decade.
Yeah.
And it was very kind and nice of them to trust me. People might not believe these people, neither the host of the event nor the sponsor of the event have looked at any of the images that I'm going to show. They just gave me complete trust.
It's
a compliment, but it's also a lot of pressure.
Right.
It's again, the idea behind it is not so much to make a statement or try to make a statement on whether my work is good or bad, whether the photos are to your standards or not. It's more just to bring awareness to a subject that to me is key. We are in one of the worst migration crises of the region in decades, and probably in history. Venezuelans have officially surpassed Syrians as the biggest migrant group in the last decade or so. So it's very real. It's very tangible. It's not a Panama problem. It's a world problem. It's a regional problem.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting migrants from all over the world to the jungle. And so it's just a grain of sand to try to share some of that.
When you were looking at the migration issue in the Darien, did you at any time also take pictures that showed the change that it's making to the local indigenous?
Oh, by all means. Yeah, actually, I just did a story of May. It was a front cover story for the Canadian Globe and Mail newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we focused was on that is that there's communities like Bajo Chiquito that have one house that sell beer, and it was all wooden tambo, quote unquote, the traditional name houses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, almost every other house is two stories, and there are five big bars and cantinas, and, you know, and it's all cement and cinder blocks. So, no, definitely. And, you know, it's a booming economy. We addressed the matter on the article. I can send you the link. You can read it later.
Right.
But yeah, it was for a Canadian newspaper. And sure, I mean, it's undeniable. You know, we're talking about a community that normally has 200 indigenous people that used to live out of the land, and now they're receiving an average of 1,000 people a day, and they're taking them out in their boats, and they're charging them $20 a person to put 20 persons per boat, and they're coming out with between 20 and 50 boats a day.
Wow.
And that's just from the boat. We're not talking about how much they charge them to use the water, to eat their food, to cook, to bathe, whatever. The other day I was on a different interview and they asked me, like, is the people in Darien upset with the migration? And I said, hardly. it's very good business. You know, same with the bus company.
It's incredible. But the thing is, I mean, we've got a comparison here, haven't we? Because we've got the business which has developed due to the immigration pattern. But of course, on the other side, you've got the traffickers, the people that are doing it.
I'm trying to tell you the business side of when we get the panel, but they're within the jungle. It's also, of course, the traffickers themselves also, like, the quote-unquote guys, coyotes, traffickers, they charge each person. By land, they charge you between 50 and 200, depending if they see you with money or not. Chinese tend to pay more, for example, than Pakistanis or Venezuelans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if they take you by boat, then they charge you up to $500, $300 on a boat. So they bring in groups of 20, 100, 200 people. And then the most common story is the guide brings 100 people that they charge 50 to 100 bucks each through the jungle. And say, after an hour, 2 hours in the jungle, or a day in the jungle, say, okay, keep going, I'm gonna go back to check on the rest, and then he disappear. And the next day, there's a gang of people waiting for you down the corner to steal from you. You know, so it's like, hey, I'm sending you 100 people here. There's one with a blue shirt that has more money than the rest, so on and so forth, you know. And so, yeah, and I've been in the jungle, for example, and where an authority who doesn't want to be identified, of course, because they can't speak with a permit of the spirit, has told us and show us, you know, we just arrested this guy who was trafficking 5 women for prostitution, for example. Or one of the things that people don't know, for example, is that the Panamanian government is offering, there's a lot of kids that were born apatriados is the word in Spanish, with no nationality, because their fathers are migrants, and they're Venezuelan migrants that moved to Chile, and then she got pregnant, and then somewhere down the road between Chile and Panama, she gave birth in Colombia. So she's traveling either with pregnant or with the 6-month or 1-month old baby, 1-year old baby, and then the father left her too in the road. So there's this particular case, and you will see her photo in the show that I'm putting up. This lady who was traveling with 2 kids with no nationality and no documents, no passports, and no father. One was 3, one was like a year and a half. And so one of the things that I discovered through this process that they also don't advertise is that the Panamanian government is also giving free DNA testing to these cases to identify if the person are really the parents of these kids.
I see.
Because you can say, I'm traveling with, they're my kids.
Yeah, but they're not. They're not.
And this is also because, for example, there was a case where I was, I gathered the day after they pick up a case of a guy who was coming from Ecuador, Venezuelan migrant, adult in his mid-30s, traveling with an 8-year-old daughter, girl that said he was his daughter, and through the DNA testing and everything, all of that, they find out that the girl had she was declared missing in Ecuador. He wasn't her family at all.
Wow.
He was stealing a girl. So there's all these cases. I mean, with good comes the bad. You can't have 100,000 people, 100,000 anything, and have a couple of
rookies. I don't see a good side to it. That's the issue. I mean,
the quote unquote good side of it is, not good side, but the quote unquote opposite of it is the people that are legitimate, just trying to get to a better life. People that are educated, because there's all, I mean, I'm telling you war bad stories, but there's also engineers, doctors, secretaries, you know, professionals that just want a better life, flat out just want a better life, and traveling with their family and their kids.
Yeah.
And they're not even, they're middle class, they just want a better life. So there's not, everybody's not a trafficker, everybody's not stealing kids, everybody's not.
No.
You know, again, with 100,000 of anything, there's going to be a couple of rotten ones for sure.
Tito, we got to end it there. We could.
Why?
Exactly why? But no, absolutely fascinating. And we're going to put information on our website, of course, today as well, thebreakfastshow.com.pa, with all the information about the exhibition. And Yasmin, of course, will be putting it on social media. So do go along, go and see Tito Herrera's work. And it's been a real pleasure.
Pleasure. I hope I've been told by many UK and British friends to specify that I speak good American, not good English. So I hope my American was good, enough for you.
You did frightfully well.
Thank you very much. Yes. I'm flattered. Thank you for the invitation. I appreciate the chance to speak and share a little bit of my work and my life, and
It's been wonderful, Peter.
Nice to meet you, sir.
Like you. Thank you very much indeed. Right, it's that time, top of the hour. We're going to take another look at the local news, and we'll be back. Another guest coming in later on this morning, and tell you all about that after this.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3. Cool FM, the best place to be in the mornings.
Las vigas de rodaje colocadas en el viaducto de la línea 3 comienzan a tomar forma y se aprecian en los sectores de San Bernardino, Vista Alegre y Burunga.
Have you ever dreamed of studying and working abroad? How does Ireland sound? Don't miss Global Possibility Studies Educational Fair on September 29th in the Decapolis Hotel. You'll be able to meet five of the most renowned Irish universities and learn about their bachelor and master degrees. Get to know Ireland's flexible immigration laws, financing opportunities, and how to get your full-time work permit for 2 years after graduation in the Emerald Isle. Don't forget to visit the fair this September 29th in the Decapolis Hotel at 6:30 p.m. Limited availability. RSVP at info@gpstudies.com. Follow them on Instagram at Global Possibility Studies and find out about all learning opportunities in Ireland.
The best radio station in the world.
In the world.
Is right here.
Right now.
You know, there's so many ways that you can be listening to Cool FM. You can be doing it on your radio on 89.3, of course. Carabao Carbleonda on channel 866. Your Grada radio app on your smartphone. Or you could just be checking us out on your smart speaker. Doesn't matter how you do it. Just do it.
The coolest station online.
Yeah, that's us.
'Cause we play
this.
Yeah.
If you are keeping an eye on the time, we're about 21 minutes, a few seconds away from that, 21 minutes after the hour, 9 o'clock. Still to come on this morning's program, we're going to be talking with Barbara. We're going to be talking with Barbara Campisiano, and we're going to talk about art. We're going to be talking about the event from OES Pavia. So Yasmin will be joining us for this one. One more piece of music, though, and this comes from Engelbert Humperdinck.
There's a place that we can go to the heartbeat of a melody, and the music fills your soul. You know all I want to say when I hear the music start, and I hold you oh so close to me. There's a fire in my heart. No words can ever portray, so let your body talk, speak the language of love. We dance the night away, come let the music play, forget the world outside, and dance the night away. Tell it to you now, as we dance the whole night long, you can hear the words I want to sing in the magic of the song. You know all I want to say when I hear the music start, and I hold you oh so close to me. There's a fire in my heart. The world outside, and there's a night.
There we go, we started off three in a row there. One away from Cutie Pie, that was the first one. And then followed up, as I mentioned, Engelbert Humperdinck. Haven't played him for a long time. We Dance the Night Away. And last but not least, Say It With Love from the Moody Blues. Now, it's an interesting time in the programme because I've got two ladies here with me. Of course, Yasmin, she's always with me. Good morning to Yasmin.
Hello, good morning.
What's happened to Happy Tuesday?
Happy Tuesday.
Thank you. Stop messing me up. Don't put me off. And also, let's say a very good morning to Barbara. Barbara Campisiano. Have I got that right, Barbara?
It's Barbara Campisiano.
Campisiano?
Yes, an Italian last name.
Italian. Oh, okay. Campisiano.
Mm-hmm. Hello, everyone.
I'm not going to be able to help myself saying that, you know. It's nice, isn't it? Anyway, lovely to have you with us.
It's a pleasure.
Yasmin, tell me what it's all about.
Yes, Fundación Guaira Civil is pleased to announce its sixth annual art auction. Raising funds through this auction will allow them to continue its work in hearing care and support for rural communities throughout the country. So there will be more than 100 prominent Panamanian and international artists. And for the first time, the auction will be held in the mixed mode, in person and virtual. Since a group of works from the collection will be auctioned at the opening event on Wednesday, September 20, that is tomorrow, from 5:30 p.m. at GAC Motors. Do you know here in Cuenca? Mm-hmm. GAC, GAC Motors, under the hammer of the arch. And the virtual portion will begin on Thursday, September 21st, from 8 a.m. through the platform 32auctions.com/OIRESVIVIR2023 and will end on Sunday, September 24. And the complete exhibition can be seen right now, physically. It already started yesterday at GAC Motors, Calle 50. And the virtual catalog will be available on the Foundation's website, which is fundacionoiresvivir.org. So you can go there and visit the virtual catalog of all the arts. And let me see what else. Among the most recognized artists, we can highlight the internationally prominent artist Coqui Calderon, the famous American painter Al Sprague that we had here before.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he's been with us.
Cisco Merel, the only Panamanian listed in the book 100 Sculptors of Tomorrow, among others. Like our guest today, here is Barbara Campisiano from Venezuela. Nice to meet you.
It's great to have you with us, Barbara. So,
it's a pleasure.
Tell us a bit about your art. Tell us a little bit about that. Because we're talking anyway. We're going to get to that.
Yes.
It's fascinating. But what is your speciality?
Well, this is going to be... it's not really fun. I'm not an art person, naturally. I was for my mom is an artist.
Okay.
She was painting porcelain since I was born. And the art was surrounding me. I started doing some ceramic, but it was not my thing. But I was in love with art. And I think life put me in a place that I started doing art and work with art. And that's why I started here in Panama working with Carlos Cruzias, the workshop that is located over here. And during 2021, I decided to move on with a project from my own, and it's called the Wallery Art Studio.
Yeah,
it's the Wallery, like wall and gallery together.
Okay.
It's a mess word. And we start helping the rest of the artists that are trying to improve and build their ideas. You know, when you're an artist, it's really complex to produce by your own some ideas that you have. Like, for example, if you want to build a sculpture of 3 meters, you're just an artist and you don't know about engineering or architecture or the correct painting to be used in a public space. So that's why this project came around, and it has been like 2 amazing years and helping and working with amazing artists that we have over here in Panama and across Latin America. We have been shipping projects from Panama to U.S., Venezuela, Costa Rica, Guatemala,
Yeah.
Dominican Republic, and in Spain as well.
Wonderful. I mean, it was very interesting because, say, when we were chatting just before before, what's your name, Yasmin? Yeah. It's been a long day, you know. It's only half past nine. No, what was interesting is, and I think, because as if you've got somebody who has the imagination, and they, like you mentioned, might want to do a sculptor, or, I mean, my grandfather was an artist. He loved painting, and his speciality was watercolors.
Okay.
And then, of course, there's a totally different way of painting with water than there is with oils and acrylics and like that. So is this is the sort of thing, if, you know, you would help develop somebody's ideas and then help them bring it into reality with, if you like, the mechanics of what you're doing?
Yeah, we help them. We have an amazing team, and we have really people that have been working on this for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And we are really lucky here in Panama that we have this type of professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know it. And also we have really talented artists. In the past, we have been working with Camila Remedios, that is, she's part of the auction,
mm-hmm,
Alex.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we are working with Brian Vergara. We have a lot of amazing, amazing, amazing artists. In my mind, there are like hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, for example, during this auction, there will be a best opportunity that everybody can have to have a part of, start your collection if you don't have one,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
or have a bigger collection, and also helping a lot of people, because
mm-hmm,
that's why we're doing, and that's why we have been working with SBB for 2 years. This is our second year, because you can be part of it as an artist,
mm-hmm,
or as a collector or a gallery,
right,
and that's what we are doing as a we are in a different category, because we are a workshop. But we are providing with one of the sculptures from our new artist that is called Liber Benitez.
Okay.
He's from Cuba. And I think it's amazing, because if you can take a look to the catalog, you can have an amazing sculpture, and you're going to help four people,
mm-hmm,
if you buy this art piece. Last year, we also went to the auction with him, and it was sold. And
oh, great. Uh-huh.
Yeah, we were really, really happy, because he's developing his career and he has been fantastic. The people love his work. So this year we're once again helping the foundation and helping another artist that they want to be included in this collection of the catalog.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm,
you're just not helping, also you are showing your art.
Absolutely,
I think it's,
mm-hmm,
it's amazing if the people can, you can go and visit the exhibition that is already there. And maybe you don't have, you cannot make an investment right away.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that art is a way of living, and just have the opportunity to see all these, all the pieces. It will be great for kids and others and
mm-hmm,
whoever that can have the opportunity to go there.
Absolutely. And yes, tell me that you were mentioning that it's going to be the physical auction.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And also a virtual auction.
Exactly.
Yeah. How do they sort of work together?
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be the virtual portion. It's going to be at the website 32auctions.com
mm-hmm,
/ OIRESVIVIR 2023. And this will end on Sunday, September 24. But the one that everybody can go, it's going to be at GAT Motors.
Mm-hmm.
On Wednesday, it's going to be the opening at 5:30 p.m.
If I was online, I mean, how are the sort of the bids being placed? I mean, if I'm looking online, I bid, and then is it an open? In other words, does somebody say $100, $150, $200? Is there going to be, like, you sort of see these big auctions where people are bidding actually
mm-hmm,
in the room, but then there's also people bidding on the phone or on the cell phone or whatever?
Exactly, because the part where everybody's going to be at GAC Motors,
mm,
it's just there.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they finish, it's going to continue on.
There's going to be 40 pieces that are going to be part of the auction tomorrow. Once you get into the Gag Motors, you're going to receive a catalog
of
the pieces that are going to be art on that day.
Mm-hmm.
So in the moment, they're going to start the it's amazing. If I think that's the experience that I really love. It's really exciting. If you have the opportunity to go, please do it. So at that moment, they're going to start showing and talking about the pieces,
mm-hmm.
and you can proceed. If you want the art piece, you can proceed and you can start finding it. So, and there's only going to be 40 pieces to pour tomorrow.
Okay, mm-hmm. okay.
And the rest, they will continue as the art live on online.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Website, okay, yeah. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be able to watch the auction on your phone or on your computer? Or?
Yeah, I guess it's going to be a live
that's cool.
streaming, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's exciting.
Yes, I'm excited too.
And Barbara, tell me, just getting back to your work with the gallery, how do people approach you or come to you to...
Well, often there are artists, there's a lot of people that know that, just like in this world, they know designers. And some architectures or artists as well that they're trying to improve, or sometimes like, well, I have this idea, I want to proceed with this design to a building, or I am thinking, I don't know, in this project. So that's the common approach. It's people that know that we are there, and the work that we have been done for these past years. But it's open to public. If somebody just wants to go there and take a look and understand the process, we often encourage people to visit us and take a look and understand what the work is done. Because sometimes when you are talking about worship, people are like, I don't get it. What are you doing? Are you painting on behalf of an artist? What are you doing? And we are support. You know, this is about delegation. This is about our trusting in a team. So I have an idea, I don't know how to continue, or I have my projects and they're taking too much of my time. So what will be the approach? I'm just going to start thinking and developing ideas, and somebody's going to make the rest of the job for me. So that's the solution that we are providing.
Okay. Cause, I mean, it's interesting because I was watching a program not so long ago about famous artists and studios. And in fact, the artist wasn't doing anything. He was telling all the other people he had like
how
to do it. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. And that it was, if you like, it was like having a foreman telling the guy how to build a house. You know, you've got to do that.
Well, that's the same approach. When you are building a house, you have a plan. You know?
Exactly.
For that plan, it was built with a lot of people. It was built with an engineer, an architect, I don't know, a lot of people, electricians, whatever. So that's the same that has happened with art. In this world, we are trying to do things bigger, and we have also trying to do things that are going to be permanent in time or with a long-lasting life. So that's why what we are trying to do. That's why it's so important about materials and covers and the finish. That's part of the job right now.
Okay. Well, we're going to be right back. We're going to take a musical break. And this is about an artist called J.C. Lowry. Pictures of Matchstick Men.
Underneath my pillow.
Oh, there we go. Let's go back to the 1960s with The Status Quo and pictures of Matchstick Men. You mentioned L.S. Lowry was the artist, and it's going back a few years now. I'm sort of looking it up, but he was famous because he did all these sort of, like, he came from the north of England, and you had a lot of factories there, and you had these factories, and all these men were very, very thin men. What's it called? Matchstick Men. There we go. My art lecture for this morning. tell me, Barbara, we're talking with Barbara Campisiano.
Campisiano. Yeah. It's because the S and C sounds like a shin.
Yeah, no, it sounds like a what?
Like okay. The words, because it's really complex.
Okay.
It's really complex.
I put an H in there, okay?
Like
so it's Campisiano. They missed the H. They got the C.
You know, Italians have their way to do things.
I love Italy. And we went to stay. We've got a good friend, actually. She lives here in Panama half the time. She had an apartment in Casco, and she lives the other half of the year in Verona.
Oh, amazing.
And we went to visit her this year over there, and I love it. I love Italy.
Mm-hmm. That's another way of playing.
But they should really stop using the C as an H. Campisiano. See, the C is right when you put an H in it.
I will try.
Okay. Listen, Barbara, one thing. Your workshop, do you have exhibitions yourself in the workshop or the artists that you help? Or?
Well, right now we have a lot of art pieces that you can just take a look and see. Mm-hmm. You can see the capacity of the job that we're doing, and also the talent of the people that we're working with.
Right.
We only don't have art pieces. We have photographs, we have sculptures,
mm-hmm.
we have paintings, because we try to have a different type of techniques as well.
Right.
So it's a mixture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's experience. Well, art is a way of living, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And once you are there, it's magic, and you cannot live without that magic anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we always try to encourage people to go there and visit us and try to have that adventure that I must say it is. We try to help kids to develop the idea that you can become an artist.
Right.
Because that's a big issue that we're having, for example, here in Latin. The people are like, well, if you want to become an artist, that's not a way of living. You're not going to have money in the future. That's not a career. And it's the opposite right now.
Mm-hmm.
You can live if that's your passion. If that's what you really want to be, you can do it. And you just need to have really a great criteria about what do you want to do, what do you want to let the world understand or know about yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's a career. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of things from you, from your time, from your inspiration, from your life, and from your knowledge. You need as well a lot of people to work with you. In the past, I was just joking with a friend that he's an artist, and I was saying, well, artists now, they should start studying marketing, because you know, to advertise your art pieces as well.
But it's the same, isn't it? It's the same, because we have a lot of musicians come through the studio as well. It's very much the same, because, and I've always used this argument that, you know, it's breaking, Panama is a very small place, and it's breaking out of Panama. In some respects, I would have thought it's possibly even easier if you're an artist to do it, because it's a visual thing.
Maybe it's nature, but it's about raising your nature to be like open. But you know, sometimes artists they're not people person, so it's really like for them it's really tough to try to sell art, to try to express themselves. Because the only way they're expressing is through their art.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to explain the rest of the world what we're doing, what we're thinking.
But the thing is, that's one of the advantages of art, because everybody sees art in a different way.
Yeah.
It's everybody will have a different... You know, I always laugh to see these people walking around galleries. Well, I think this is awesome. You know, he's doing this and that. No,
well, like Rocco. When I saw Rocco Chapel, for me was... I don't know how to say it. It changed my life. I was just standing, and there were and the colors were showing up. Maybe for somebody it was just a black piece, and a lot of things were happening.
But the thing is, if you get pleasure out of it, that's the main thing. It's your interpretation, it's your pleasure. But now, I went to, talking about Italy, a number of years ago, I went to the Guggenheim in Venice.
Mm-hmm.
And there, in the end of this room, is this huge painting of somebody just sort of throwing paint at it. And apparently it was a Jackson Pollock. Which, Pollock sounds very similar to what I thought of it.
One of my favorites.
Really?
I
mean,
I love it.
But I can't see in it. You see, this is the difference. I can look at a Picasso,
what?
And I can see what he is trying to interpret. I can see a Jackson Pollock and not have a clue as to what... Now, this particular... Excuse my French or Italian, because this, because this is the name of this particular painting. It was called Circumcision. Do you know that one by Jackson Pollock? There is not one willy or anything anywhere in that picture. I looked.
And he died really young. He was going to do a lot of things. Well, it's the same. Well, one of my favorite artists is Carmen Herrera, a Cuban. I don't know. She passed away on May of 2022. And she was doing art in her apartment from her entire life, and she became famous at her late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
But she was doing art her entire
life.
No.
Is it, you only need one person that is a so-called art critic to say, I've seen this, it is absolutely wonderful, and everybody runs off to buy it. You know, it is very much in the eye of the beholder.
Yes,
and,
of course.
You know, this Jackson Pollock, which you've seen, is worth millions and millions of
and
dollars.
Also, but it's a lot of things that work together.
How do you interpret then, when you see a Jackson Pollock, how do you interpret it?
It's things that you see over there, it's the colors completing. I was just trying to see what he was thinking about it.
Oh, well, that's what I was thinking. What on earth was he thinking when he did that?
And also, for me, it's also like how his career went at the end. If he wasn't, because he died really young.
Mm.
So it's a lot of things going together. But there's a lot of art over here in Panama. We're really lucky. This is just starting.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is a great moment that we're living right now, and I love to be part of it. I love to work with artists. I love to hear their ideas, try to help them to grow, and this
opportunity. We were very fortunate. We had a famous Panamanian artist here in the studio in Oslongo, Eduardo Navarro.
Mm-hmm.
And his work is all, he has a theme, and that is horses. But his interpretation of horses, and he did a sculpture, which I think was it the Olympic Games or something, yeah,
mm-hmm.
that they did,
yeah, yeah,
sculpture,
so. Mm-hmm.
Sculpture there. But he became famous because of this particular thing. I mean, his hat is there and it's got a horse on there. It's his interpretation of horses, and you can see the fire in some of them. You can see that. I can understand that. But if you saw, you know, Jackson Pollock at work, I've seen him in him.
No, because you have to see the color.
And we're going to have to go
colors
in.
It will appear.
Anyway,
there's something missing right there.
It's lovely. I sort of enjoy these conversations. But anyway, look, Barbara, we've got to wrap up. For the morning. It's been a fun morning this morning.
Oh, yes.
Have you been having fun this morning?
Oh, yes.
You're not here to have fun. So just remind everybody, yes, about the auction dates and whatever.
Please don't miss tomorrow the auction of Fundación Oídas Vivir. This is going to be at GAC Motors in Calle 50 tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. It will start with the hammer. And, of course, the virtual portion is going to be at 32auctions.com/OIDESVIVIR2023. And if you need more information, you can call 317-0562 or visit the website fundacionoidesvivir.org.
Okay, that's it. And we'll have something on our website today and some links. And, Barbara, thank you so very much for coming. Barbara Campisciano.
It was my pleasure, and I hope to see you tomorrow, everyone that was listening today, because
yep.
It's going to be amazing.
And
we're going to be there.
It's going to be in the GAC showroom, which is a car showroom, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. So will the cars be there as well?
Mm-hmm, yes. Exactly.
Well, we have a lot of walls.
Oh, right.
We have two sides of walls.
I'm going to make an offer on one of the cars.
Yes, and they're going to have live music.
No, and that's really important. Just I know that we are rapping, mm-hmm. but there is a lot of, but there are different pieces for mm-hmm. small collectors to the biggest ones. So we have a really range of prices. So
yes.
Excellent.
So you can mm-hmm. start your own art collection tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
See exactly. you there.
Oh, we got the hard sell here this morning. Ladies, thank you very much indeed. And again, a big thanks to Barbara. Big thanks to Tito Herrera, who was with us earlier on. Fantastic photographer. So do try and go along and see that as well. His photographs are amazing. And big thanks to Yasmin, doing all the work here in the studio, all of our sort of social media and bookings and everything else. I just sit here and annoy people and play music. That's what I do best. Also, let's say a big thank you to Ingrid, our Intrepid Outdoor reporter. She checked in with us today. My co-producer, Neil Danby, over there in Windsor in the United Kingdom. Big thanks to him. The boys and girls at Group of Grud will keep us up and running. And as always, to you, our listeners, advertisers and sponsors, thank you so very much for being with us here on The Breakfast Show. Tomorrow is our midweek show. It's Wednesday. I'll be back with you as normal, 7 o'clock in the morning, whatever it is you're doing between now and then. Do it carefully. 7 tomorrow, I want to be talking to you, not talking about you. All right, so from me, Jerry D, till then, ta-ta! You have been listening to The Breakfast Show, a Panama Broadcasting Corporation and Cool FM production. Presented by Jerry D, produced by Yasmin Quiroz, co-producer Neil Danby.